This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good Monday afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Winter's last gasp. Well, we'll see. Wind-blown snow causing some tricky travel today, especially along the I-81 corridor in central New York. High winds going to be a problem all day long, too, says WIVB meteorologist Mike Sykal.
This is really the big culprit today, the wind, which at times is going to be gusting well into the 40-mile-per-hour range, maybe even as high as 50 miles per hour.
Correspondent Aaron McLaughlin has the view from the Big Apple today, where it's a hold-on-to-your-hat sort of day.
After the wintry mess that was this weekend, folks here in the Northeast are waking up to wind chills as low as the 20s and wind gusts of up to 55 miles per hour. It's all making for some potentially dicey travel conditions, and it's expected to last all day.
Several schools in the Syracuse area were closed or delayed this morning due to whiteout conditions during the morning commute. Most of the snow activity is over now, and we will see noticeable improvements in our weather starting tomorrow, with temperatures soaring again into the 60s by midweek. Things have gone from bad to worse in crime-wrecked Haiti. The U.S. Embassy is evacuating staff from the capital city as gang violence grips that Caribbean country. Correspondent Christian Benavidez has more from Port-au-Prince.
Government forces engage in bloody street battles with gangs. They came with big guns, this Haitian says. We can't defend ourselves. Last week, gangs orchestrated a mass prison break. The new ranks coordinating takeovers of hospitals and seaports. International flights canceled after they tried to take the airport. The UN estimates they forced 15,000 people from their homes.
The State Department calls the current security situation in Haiti unpredictable and dangerous. That country could collapse at any moment. Haiti's prime minister stuck in Puerto Rico and has been unable to return due to the violence. Another black eye for Boeing. More than 50 people hurt today on a Boeing jet that was flying from Sydney, Australia to Auckland, New Zealand. Boeing calls it a technical event stemming from severe turbulence. Aviation expert Kyle Bailey says incidents like this, though, should not cause the flying public to panic.
2023 was the safest year in aviation travel. Your chance of getting killed in a plane crash is about 1 in 11 million.
Boeing is facing a criminal investigation after a door blew off one of its jetliners in January on the U.S. West Coast. President Biden has apologized for how he characterized Laken Riley's suspected killer during last week's State of the Union address. Here is the president just a couple days ago being interviewed by MSNBC.
You used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
Laken Riley is the 22-year-old Georgia nursing student who police say was killed by an illegal immigrant while jogging last month. Former President Donald Trump at a rally in Georgia over the weekend.
He was an illegal migrant, and he shouldn't have been in our country, and he never would have been under the Trump policy.
Trump met with the parents of Laken Riley backstage at that rally on Saturday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is not backing down from his plans to lead a ground invasion into Rafah. President Biden calls that planned military operation a red line that should not be crossed. But Netanyahu says his red line is ensuring that there's not a repeat of October 7th.
We're going to defeat Hamas. We're going to do what is necessary. We have to destroy this terrorist Nazi army. Otherwise, there's no future for anyone in the Middle East.
Netanyahu Netanyahu says a vast majority of Israelis are on his side when it comes to wiping Hamas from the face of the earth. Meantime, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan begins today with no ceasefire in sight between Jews and Arabs in the Holy Land. The U.S. military and its allies shot down a flurry of at least 28 drones in the Red Sea over the weekend. They were fired by Iranian-backed Houthi militants in Yemen. CENTCOM says there were no reports of any damage to commercial or naval vessels during that four-hour assault. The U.S. House expected to vote Wednesday on legislation that forces TikTok to divorce itself from the influences of communist China. Lawmakers are concerned national security could be at risk.
Both parties recognize the threat that TikTok poses to America. It's a threat to your data security. It's a threat to your kids, but it's also a threat to our country because the Chinese Communist Party can use it for propaganda.
Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton supports the legislation that forces the parent company of TikTok, which is controlled by the CCP, to sell to a non-Chinese entity. Today could be hazardous to your health. When we move our clocks ahead 1 hour for daylight saving time, hospitals report a 24% spike in heart attack visits on the ensuing Monday. That's today. Britain's Princess Kate has apologized for causing confusion with the editing of a family photo released by Buckingham Palace. Here's reporter Holly Williams.
Released by the palace yesterday, the photograph of Kate and her three young children is the first official image we've seen of the princess since she underwent abdominal surgery in January. But now several news agencies, including Reuters and the Associated Press, have withdrawn the new photo from publication, one saying it's been manipulated by the source. The agencies have strict rules about altering images. The palace may have been attempting to reassure the public with the new photo of the popular princess, apparently taken by her husband. But instead, it's created more headlines and more questions.
Holly Williams reporting from London today. Oppenheimer cleaned up at the Oscars last night. The blockbuster film about the father of the atomic bomb won 7 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, and Best Director for this guy, Christopher Nolan.
Movies are just a little bit over 100 years old. We don't know where this incredible journey is going from here, but to know that you think that I'm a meaningful part of it means the world to me. Thank you very much.
Poor Things star Emma Stone won her second Oscar for Best Actress, and Best Supporting Actress went to Davin Joy Randolph for her role as a grieving mother in The Holdovers. Still to come on the Noon Report, the death of a veteran cop at a casino, cars for veterans in Western New York, and a town of veteran man nearly died in a home explosion. We'll tell you what happened there right after this.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. That gusty, biting breeze will be subsiding tonight and shifting into the south. That means milder weather is on the way. Forecast details are up and down.
All right, Kevin, we'll see you then. Let's check the stories making news all across New York and Pennsylvania. As mentioned earlier, daylight saving time returned on Sunday. Correspondent Bree Tennis tells us how long it'll take to adjust.
AARP says you most likely forgot to set about 5 clocks, most in the kitchen, but don't forget about your wristwatch and the one in your car. Sleep.com says you'll need a full week to regulate losing that hour and be careful because accidents, strokes, and heart attacks increase for the entire week we change time. But the upside with daylight saving time, more sunshine later in the day. Great if you like that. And according to YouGov, 80% of us do. I'm Bree Tennis.
The suspects charged in the death of a police sergeant with the Genesee County, New York Sheriff's Department will appear in court tomorrow. 54-year-old Thomas Sanfratello became unresponsive early Sunday after an altercation at the Batavia Downs Casino. More from reporter Daniel Finkelstein with Wham News in Rochester.
Sanfratello was working a special assignment detail while on duty and had to remove 2 people from the bar area of the casino with the help of Batavia Downs security staff. Those 2 people, identified by police as 33-year-old Michael Elmore and 39-year-old Lindsay Jean Wilcox, allegedly became combative. And while Sergeant Sanfratello placed Wilcox under arrest, Batavia police say he was attacked by Elmore.
The suspects are being held at the Genesee County Jail on manslaughter and burglary charges. Sergeant Sanfrantello was a 32-year veteran of the Genesee County Sheriff's Department. A Pennsylvania lawmaker has introduced a bill that prohibits credit cards from being used for online gambling, including sports betting. State Senator Wayne Fontana says mobile sports betting is burying people in a mountain of debt, especially those with gambling problems. March, by the way, is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month. The average Pennsylvanian has more than $5,600 in credit card debt. Two National Guard soldiers from upstate New York among those killed in Friday's crash of a helicopter in Texas. Here's reporter Sarah Lee Kessler.
Both were chief warrant officers from upstate New York. 28-year-old Casey Frankowski was from Rensselaer. She joined the National Guard in 2016. John Gracia III, who was 30, was from Schenectady, and he joined in 2012. Both were killed when the helicopter they were in went down near Rio Grande City in Texas while they were supporting border protection operations. A New York National Guard soldier was injured. Chris Luna, a border control agent, was also killed. No official word yet on the cause of the crash the NTSB is investigating. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
All right, Sarah, thank you. Niagara Falls, New York High School is taking action to protect teachers from students who behave badly. Two teachers were recently injured in fights at that school. Niagara Falls Superintendent Mark Laurie says too often teachers are forced to act as cops when violence erupts at school.
I would never put this on the back of a teacher. I appreciate them, you know, coming to the aid of students as quickly as they can. To resort to violence that quickly is very unfortunate, very unacceptable, but will be dealt with very swiftly.
The teachers that were injured in those incidents last week plan to pursue criminal charges against the students involved. The Pennsylvania Department of Transportation has updated guidelines for stopped school buses. Act 19 allows districts to install and operate automated cameras for the purpose of enforcing state law. Violations identified by those cameras are then reviewed by police under an agreement with the school district. After that review process, districts may issue tickets to the vehicle owners. Yeah, the school districts can do this, including fines that can exceed $300. Perhaps you've heard the CDC is changing the rules for COVID, treating it more like flu nowadays. There's no longer a five-day isolation period, but experts say that only tells part of the story.
When they return to work or school, they're supposed to still take measures. This is the part that gets, I think, left out.
Infectious disease expert Dr. Jason Bowling says those recovering from COVID should still wear a mask if they go around large groups of people.
They still want people to be cautious for the next 5 days after they return and are feeling better, because as we know, they're still potentially at risk for transmitting to others.
Dr. Bowling says COVID is still with us and people are still dying from COVID. And Avon, New York-based not-for-profit, is giving back to local veterans near Rochester. Marine Corps vet Justin Cogswell is the CEO of Operation Build Up in Avon.
We put together just a few veterans that got tired of seeing our friends return home from overseas and become homeless or become a statistic.
Since 2016, Cogswell and his staff have repaired and donated more than 300 cars to vets in need.
These veterans, when we come in, are in very rough shape. So the vehicles that we give them are a lifeline.
Operation Build Up repairs donated cars and gives them to vets who are at risk for homelessness or suicide. His crew does everything from body work to brakes to transmission work. It's Operation Build Up in Avon, New York. A veteran New York man near Horseheads hospitalized over the weekend could face charges, too, after police say a meth lab exploded in his garage. 42-year-old Brian Schwartz suffering severe burns to his upper body in that explosion Saturday night. Chemung County Sheriff's deputies say the blast was caused by the manufacturing of methamphetamine. New York farmers are lobbying lawmakers for more funding to help support local food production. Farm Bureau President David Fisher says family-owned farms are worth protecting and add value to New York's economy.
They're investments in agriculture, but they're investments in New York. They're investments in every New Yorker, because every New Yorker eats and needs food and nourishment three times a day.
According According to researchers at Cornell University, New York has lost over 3,000 farms in just the past 5 years. A Pennsylvania county is changing the way absentee ballots are counted. The Lebanon County Board of Elections has set up a kiosk where voters can return ballots. That kiosk will be manned from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the courthouse in Lebanon starting April 1st. It'll replace a ballot drop box, which commissioners say raised election integrity concerns. Primary day, by the way, in Pennsylvania is Tuesday, April 23rd. At a Big Flats, New York, 13-year-old has won a spot in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. His name is Reed Fuchs. He's an eighth grader at the Alternative School for Math and Science in Corning.
It feels really great. I did not expect it at all. I'm just so amazed, and I'm like so glad that like my parents have like supported me in doing this.
Fuchs was the last speller standing after 13 rounds with 85 other spellers from 50 school districts at a spelling competition in Corning. He'll go on to compete in the National Spelling Bee in May in National Harbor, Maryland. That's just outside Washington, D.C. Let's pause next for sports. It's the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, at the Garden last night in New York, the 76ers beat the Knicks 79-73. That score kind of tells you how ugly the game was offensively. I mean, you win an NBA game with 79 points? Injured Philadelphia center Joel Embiid scored 70 points all by himself just 2 months ago. The Knicks shot just 32% from the field. The 76ers missed their first 9 3-point shots. The Nets shot the ball a lot better as they blew out Cleveland 120-101. Cam Thomas scored 29. Mikal Bridges chipped in with 25. Elsewhere, picking up wins, the Bucks, Pelicans, Wizards, Pacers, Rockets, Thunder, and Lakers. On the ice, the Islanders scored 3 times in the first period and never looked back as they walked all over Anaheim 6-1. Cizikas, Palmieri, Nelson, Horvat, Engvall, and Clutterbuck all lit the lamp for New York. The Penguins, they're not playing very good hockey right now. They dropped their third straight, losing 4-0 to the Oilers. The Pens have been outscored 15-1 in their 3-game skid. The Wild, Canes, and Blackhawks also skated to victory. The Pittsburgh Steelers have signed Russell Wilson to a 1-year contract that after the Broncos released him last week. In NASCAR, Christopher Bell picked up his first win of the season, taking the checkered flag in Phoenix. Chris Buescher, Ty Gibbs, Brad Keselowski, and Ryan Blaney rounded out the top five. And the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team won gold in the Gold Cup Final. They edged Brazil 1-0. Lindsay Horan scored in stoppage time right at the end of the first half on a header. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy Mann. Still to come on the Noon Report, Oppenheimer cleans house at the Oscars. And later in the broadcast, we'll brag on a pro-life group with a unique ministry for abortion clinic workers.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Each year, the Colson Center presents the William Wilberforce Award to a Christian leader that's made a lasting difference in their sphere of influence, demonstrating the same kind of principled courage as did British abolitionist William Wilberforce. At this year's Colson Center National Conference, Hobby Lobby founders David and Barbara Green will be awarded the 2024 Wilberforce Award. The Greens have exemplified a Christ-like faithfulness, courage, and generosity that will leave a legacy for generations to come. The Greens grew up in Oklahoma. David credits his parents with passing on a serious faith to him and his siblings. Quote, "We grew up in a home where you had a mother and father that really lived out their faith," he said. "That was exciting for us kids to see someone that not only taught it, but also lived a life of faith." Well, in the 1960s, David Green got a job at a local five and dime store, and it was there he realized how much he loved retail. It was also there that he met Barbara. David and Barbara Green married and founded Hobby Lobby later in 1970, opening its first brick and mortar store by 1972. Since then, Hobby Lobby's grown to over 1,000 stores, success that the Greens attribute to God's favor and God's blessing. For the Greens, it's never really been about money, but about honoring God, being generous with the blessings they received. In particular, they hope to leave a legacy to bless the generations that are to come. Well, it was under the Obama administration that the Department of Health and Human Services famously attempted to force employers to cover abortifacients. Facing crippling fines for not complying, the Greens instead sought to honor God. As David Green explained, quote, "One of the things that I feel like that I have learned is that if we want God's blessing, we have to do things that are going to cost us. I can name you at least 10 different things, and I may name you a couple or three that cost us money. Almost everything, when you take a stand, cost, and you have to be willing to take that cost." Well, the Colson Center thanks God for the faithfulness of David and Barbara Green, for their vision, for their commitment, for their sacrifice, for their refusal to compromise, and for their obedience. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Jared Hayden. And for more resources like this one, go to breakpoint.org.
Thank you, John. Work week weather, Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life forecast for this afternoon. Still a biting breeze. We'll have ample sunshine, though, with high temperatures generally in the 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy through times clear. Low temperatures, upper 20s to the middle 30s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and turning noticeably milder than today. High temperatures tomorrow in the 50s to near 60. And on Wednesday, quite mild. There'll be some clouds around, mainly near Lake Ontario. Otherwise, some sunshine. The high temperature Wednesday in the 60s.
All right, we'll take it. Thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report. I'm Bob Price. Lots happening Monday, the 11th of March. Schools closed or delayed today in the Syracuse, New York area due to wind-blown snow. Wind advisories in effect through this evening there, but as Kevin just said, we'll see some noticeable improvement starting tomorrow. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says a planned military excursion into southern Gaza will go on, and that won't stop until he's rid the world of Hamas. Chris Livesay has the latest from Jerusalem.
Amid the mounting humanitarian crisis in Gaza, Israel plans to invade Rafah, a Hamas stronghold, but also a refuge to more than 1 million Palestinians. President Biden was asked if that would be a red line.
We cannot have 30,000 more Palestinians dead.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed his military will go to Rafah regardless.
I have a red line. You know what the red line is? That October 7th doesn't happen again.
This week marks the start of Ramadan, the Islamic holy month, a time of prayer and fasting, but in recent years, violence as well.
Chris Livesay reporting the U.S. military is airlifting non-essential Americans out of Haiti as armed gangs overrun the nation.
The U.S. embassy is actually located in a crossroads of about three powerful gangs.
Catherine Charles with the Miami Herald says the impoverished Caribbean country is on the brink of collapse.
Port-au-Prince itself is basically landlocked by gangs that control all of the major roads out of the capital.
Haiti's prime minister stuck in Puerto Rico and cannot get back to Port-au-Prince because of the violence. There's an investigation in Indonesia after both pilots on a flight in January fell asleep for about half an hour. That plane went off course, but nobody was hurt. The pilots were temporarily suspended. President Biden says he would sign a bill that forces an ownership change at TikTok.
Lawmakers are attempting to address national security risks posed by TikTok in advancing a bill that would require the app's Chinese parent company ByteDance to sell to an American owner. More than 170 million TikTok users saw notifications urging them to complain to their House representative about the bill. TikTok's campaign quickly overwhelmed the phone lines of some congressional offices. Lawmakers say this illustrates how TikTok can mobilize an army of people, gather data, and push user behavior, which is exactly why they don't want the company to have ties to China.
Aaron Rayal reporting the full House is scheduled to vote Wednesday on the TikTok ban. The Princess of Wales says she regrets releasing an edited photo of her family. Here's reporter Rory O'Neill.
Princess Catherine is apologizing for any confusion caused by a Mother's Day photo released by Kensington Palace, admitting that she will occasionally experiment with editing photos. The doctored picture taken by her husband, the Prince of Wales, was later retracted by multiple news agencies. It was the first photo of the future queen taken since she underwent abdominal surgery back in January. She has kept a low profile since that operation. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Daylight saving time started yesterday, and hospitals report a 24% spike in heart attack visits on the ensuing Monday.
Working too hard to give you a heart attack.
That's today. The exact reason isn't clear, but experts think the lost hour of sleep plays a big role, disrupting the body's natural rhythm. While a bit late for this year, one way to combat the change is to start going to bed and waking up 15 minutes earlier, 2 to 3 days before the change. I'm Michael Kastner.
All right, we'll remember that for next year. Thank you, Michael. And Oppenheimer cleaned house at the Oscars last night. Correspondent Margaret Carrera reports from Hollywood.
Christopher Nolan's blockbuster about the father of the atomic bomb, Oppenheimer, dominated with 7 Oscar wins, including Best Actor in a Leading Role for Cillian Murphy. The Academy Awards aired on ABC.
For better or for worse, we're all living in Oppenheimer's world, so I would really like to dedicate this to the peacemakers everywhere.
His co-star, Robert Downey Jr., won his first Oscar for his supporting role in the film.
You know, what we do is meaningful, and the stuff that we decide to make is important.
Margaret Carrero in Hollywood today. You're tuned into the Noon Report, a Monday edition on Family Life.
And Then There Were None is a pro-life ministry founded by a former Planned Parenthood director who left a successful career in the abortion industry when she realized her work was taking lives instead of helping them. On today's special feature, we're joined by Angela Huguenin, Director of Operations for And Then There Were None. Angela, you work with people who are leaving jobs in the abortion industry, and this is a pretty unique approach in pro-life circles. Tell us more about how it works.
I believe that we are the only organization in the pro-life movement that is helping abortion workers leave the industry. So they're facing a lot of challenges when they decide to leave the abortion industry. The main one we see is obviously a paycheck. They are earning high wages. Many of them are not certified to do the types of jobs that they are performing, but they are being paid well. And so it is challenging in that we need to find them a job to continue supplementing what they're making. So we do help find them current positions. We also help them with education scholarships. We also help them with legal representation should they need it. Many of them sign non-disclosure agreements, and so that can cause them to be silenced. And so we want to make sure that they have the ability to speak out about what they've experienced. A big piece of what we do is hope and healing, right? We want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, give them the hope of redemption. And so we have a healing retreat program that they go through. It's in 3 different phases. It also opens them up to a network of other abortion workers, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing because they can talk to someone else who's also experienced the same thing that they had. And the word talks about being comforted and comforting someone else in a way that we have been comforted. And they can do that for each other. Just so much that we offer them to, not only help them to exit, but make sure that they're thriving after the exit. And most importantly, that they understand that Christ is for them and he loves them and certainly wants to save them. We have a number of different ways that we reach out to workers. Of course, the note card ministry is a big one. We have one woman who had an idea and she has organized thousands of people to literally handwrite notes and send into these abortion clinics. And they have reached a number of workers. We've had some come out and say, you know, I got this handwritten card and it was so sweet and someone was praying for me and they knew that I was having a hard time. And, you know, so that's amazing that someone with a heart for these workers all across the country can just sit down and write 5 or 10 little handwritten notes and mail it into the clinics for us. It is a huge operation. And then we, as an organization, mail in cards once a month. We have one creative card that we send in. It's a postcard. And many times it's interactive. So we do like scratchers where they actually have to scratch off and see our information. We actually had one that said, she's a 10, but she needs to find a new job. And I had a picture of a mirror on the postcard. And so if she held it up, she would see her face. And so those kinds have been mentioned in several different interviews that we have seen coming out of people from inside Planned Parenthood. We have had several who have, again, they've seen these like scratch offs and maybe one is about mental health. And they'll say, I read that about my mental health and it triggered something in me, and I realize that this is not the job for me, you know, or just causing them to reach out because, hey, we love you and we want to send you a $5 gift card or whatever. They do see us as the enemy. They've seen us as the enemy for a long time. So we want to let them know that, of course, we will help you. Of course, we want to help you to not only leave that job, but to thrive in life. Like I spoke about earlier, it's such a beautiful transformation. And we just love what God is doing in the lives of many of these former abortion workers.
Angela, thanks so much for joining us today and for sharing about the work you do.
Thank you very much.
Once again, that was Angela Huguenin, Director of Operations at And Then There Were None. And I'm Abigail Hopland, reporting for Family Life News.
Always good to hear from you, Abigail. A ministry that targets abortion clinic workers. How cool is that? This is the Noon Report, a Monday edition on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the storm system that brought snow to much of the area yesterday and last night and those rather gusty winds today is departing. Higher pressure will build in, and the result? Fair skies and a warming trend. In the meantime, for this afternoon, still a biting breeze. We'll have ample sunshine, though, with high temperatures generally in the 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy to at times clear, low temperatures upper 20s to the middle 30s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and turning noticeably milder than today. High temperatures tomorrow in the 50s to near 60. And on Wednesday, quite mild. There'll be some clouds around, mainly near Lake Ontario. Otherwise, some sunshine. The high temperature Wednesday in the 60s.
Okie doke. Thank you, Kevin. Finally at noon, today's a day you can truly say, here's Johnny. Don't say it quite like Ed McMahon, and it's not the Johnny you may be thinking of. Family Life's Brian Querry has more.
His name was John Chapman. You may not recognize the name of this American conservationist and nurseryman, but you may recognize him by what he commonly went by, Johnny Appleseed. And today we recognize this American legend as March 11th is National Johnny Appleseed Day. He was born in 1774 and first developed a passion for apples following an apprenticeship under a local apple orchardist. This experience inspired him to set out to share his knowledge about apples and plant as many trees as he could, as he saw his efforts as a way for him to help alleviate world hunger. His first apple tree nursery was planted in Warren, Pennsylvania. His story has been mistaken commonly as a children's folktale, with many questioning whether he existed or not. He did indeed, and he is revered as a figure who helped alter America's natural and agricultural landscape for generations to come. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
All right, thank you very much. A fountain of knowledge, that Brian Querry. And just like that, folks, we are out of time. That's the world we live in, Monday, March 11th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.